And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Welcome to you. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is recovering from a back injury, and we wish him well and hope to have him back very soon. Today we visit with conductor James Judd. Of course, the maestro headed the Florida Philharmonic for 14 years and has conducted many, many, many orchestras worldwide. I have a few of them listed. Today we'll learn more about the Miami Music Project, which he founded in 2008, 6 years now. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon, and I hope Joe's feeling well.
I hope so, too, and it's great to have you back again.
It's great
to be here.
I'm
sorry he's not with us. Also joining us is the Miami Music Project Executive Director, Anna Klimala Pietreszko. And welcome back to you, Anna.
Pleasure to be here, Bonnie.
We're also pleased to have with us two students from the Doral chapter of the Miami Music Project. They will be joining us just a little later in the program, so stand by. So, James, let's begin with you. With your long and distinguished career, you've been working with youngsters for many years. Just for those who aren't familiar with the Miami Music Project, what inspired you to found it and for these underserved youngsters? Just give us a little history for those who don't know about it.
Well, I think it came from my own fortunate background, in the sense that, in England at that time, anyone who wanted to loan an instrument in any town, any school, was given one, we could have lessons free. And so there were wonderful youth orchestras all over. Music meant something to all communities, a lot of amateur music making. And then here, I and a number of people started talking together about the need here, because if we can get music into the lives of all children, it's the best time to start, then the world is really going to be a better place. And so I was very fortunate to receive the grant, initial challenge grant from the Knight Foundation, without whom none of this would have happened. And it's grown and grown with further collaboration from Knight Foundation, many other generous people. Anna, his team, has just proven to be the most remarkable administrator. And Stanley Cohen heads a very, very effective board. And they do all the work, Anna and Stanley and company.
And I
float around and drop in occasionally and really admire the work that's going on and do a little conducting here and there.
Well, it's really been an amazing time. I see you have a new chapter that opened, which we're going to get to, Anna. Mm-hmm. But you've been executive director for 4 years now. What changes have you seen? Just give us an update on the Miami Music Project. Mm-hmm.
So there are a few very important changes that we have recently seen within our organization, and thank God all of them are the good changes, positive changes. We are not only growing on the local level, as you mentioned, and we will talk about our newest chapter, our newest location. We are also growing administratively. We've added a full-time position this past year. We've added part-time positions. We are growing again for next year, which is incredible, because not only that means that our organization is really getting stronger and stronger on daily basis with what we do, but also it means that we are able to, in our small part, contribute to this community, to creating jobs, not only administration jobs, but also, for example, we are able to give a lot of resources to our teaching artists. We currently employ about 20 teaching artists, which are local musicians that also teach and are incredible teachers. And just to give you an idea, when we started, Miami Music Project in the first year of programming was able to put aside about $35,000 to pay teaching artists that were working with us. And for 2015, we estimate about $220,000that will be invested into local musicians. So I'm very proud of that. And I think we all are, and the board stands behind it, because it just approved a budget for next year. So, we are very happy to contribute that way. Another level that I'm personally very proud of is also a national level. We are now, as you know, our program is inspired by the incredible El Sistema phenomenon.
Which I would like, because there are those who maybe didn't hear when you were here. What is it? about 16 months, 17, 18 months ago.
Yes.
Tell us about El Sistema.
So it's a very, very simple concept. And James can actually speak more about it because he was there in Venezuela, you know, good number of years ago. I'm not going to say how many. When it was all starting, it's a very simple concept that believes that if you give a child a violin into their hand, they're not going to pick up a gun. So, you know, it might sound a little bit harsh, and I always get chills when I hear that sentence, but at the same time, it really shows the very basic concept of when kids are able to grow up with music, with the life experience of music, playing an instrument, with putting hours into practice, with being part of an orchestra, which is a huge team which you have to play well with, mm-hmm. then they are really changing their mindset. They're developing their skills. They're really changing their communities, and that really spreads around. So they are able to become better people, and I'm sure our students who will speak later will give you some examples of that. I really don't need to speak more on that. So on the national level, we are now part of the National Alliance of El Sistema Inspired Programs.
I see
programs.
That. What does that mean?
That means this is an organization who gathered together all of the programs that are out there that are inspired by the same philosophy. There is right now about 45 programs that are active and working already that are modeled after El Sistema, and there is about 20 to 25 at the time of programs in planning. So we are growing, and we have formed alliance together on a national level. I'm actually a board member of the alliance right now, and we are able to, you know, gather together and be able to share resources to help other people who are starting to ask questions. You know, I can pick up a phone anytime and call my partners in Los Angeles, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, and ask, how do you do this? What would you do if you were me? I'm having this challenge. So it's like an incredible support group, and it really broadens the horizons and helps everybody get better.
And James, talk about El Sistema. You were the one who decided to use that method.
Yeah, I mean, I was fortunate to meet Jose Antonio Abreu, who was starting this whole initiative in Venezuela back 40 plus years ago at a youth festival that I was conducting in. And he brought the then Venezuelan Youth Orchestra there and described to everybody at the program that he was going to, as Anna has described it. And it started with just 11 musicians in Caracas, kind of in a garage. Mm. And it's a social movement, if you like. The object is not to turn out professional musicians, but simply to use music. You know, personally, we know the effect on both sides of the brain that music has.
Right.
And the interaction with other people, esteem, discipline, and all those things Anna very carefully describe. It works, and it's working all over the world, and you adapt it to wherever you are. You know, it's a remarkable thing, and our program director, who is really a genius, Abiram Buzuela, who does all the music work. It's not me. He's really hands-on doing
and
everything.
It's not me.
And he came through that whole process in Venezuela, so he knows all about it. And
Abiram Brizuela.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And how did it have to be adapted to this area?
Well, you look around and you just see, okay, we started in Doral, the area. First of all, we're very fortunate. You have to look for a school that will invite you in after school, because that's expensive otherwise. And we look for an area where, you know, parents can bring their children easily to that place, or children can walk to that place. An area where we think, you know, unfortunately, if we look out all around South Florida, and in fact all around the United States, more and more we see music programs being cut.
Mm-hmm.
Cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in England as well, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, and all over the world.
What about Europe? Is the rest of Europe?
Yeah, I mean, slowly, because of the economy,
right.
Things are being eroded a little bit. But here it's especially evident. So we said, well, we have to do something to replace that. Because the thought of young people growing up without all kinds of music in their lives, not just what we call classical, but
right.
music, right, is awful. So that's why we thought, well, we're going to do something about that. And the best way, I think the most exciting way for kids to get into music is to play. You know, the excitement, right? I think we all remember. I remember when I first had a piano to play, you know, I couldn't leave it.
How old were you?
Four. Yeah, I was lucky. It was a funny old upright thing and lessons from the church organist. And that was just, I can't imagine my world without it. Yeah.
Well, of course. And Anna, you're a double bassist. And I was going to mention that when we left the break. But just talk about your experience, you know, the first time you picked up your double bass.
Well, before I picked up the double bass, I also picked up piano when I was six, and I always played piano. It was really my grandpa who really wanted his grandchildren to experiencing music. Somehow he always knew and he always understood why music was important. So he bought us the first upright piano, the same as James, and I've played for many years. And then I loved it so much that I said, you know, I think I want to go to a music school. In Poland, where I'm from, the system is a little bit different. You go to separate special music schools if you want to do music. So my parents took me to the school. I was 15. And, you know, I wanted to try another instrument. And because of the timing of the year I came to the school, they only gave me two choices, a bassoon and a double bass.
Oh, well.
And I asked them, what's a bassoon? I had no idea what bassoon looked like. And they showed me and I thought, you know, there's no way I'm going to play this instrument. Somehow it just wasn't appealing to me to play in a way that you don't even see your lips. And, you know, I was a girl, so I guess I was thinking about how it looked. And then I went to the double bass teacher, and he looked at me, and he said, and I, you know, I'm quite tall, so yes. I guess I matched the size. And he said, where are you from? And I told him I was from the mountains. I'm a Highlander. And he said, you're not going anywhere, you're staying here. And it was because in Poland, the traditional Highlanders music has a lot of bass in it, a lot of bass music, double bass. So he thought I had it in my blood, I guess, and he just didn't let me go anywhere. And I liked it. You know, I always liked that it was different. It was the biggest instrument. It was hard to carry around. Mm-hmm. You know, people were always helping me. And I always really loved, in an orchestra, when you play double bass, you are in the bass section. It's really incredible because you really feel all of the notes in the floor. The notes are so low and they give so different vibration that you really feel it in the floor. And I always remember that was my first experience in orchestra. I always remembered that I can feel it from my feet, and that's what I really always loved. In addition to that, I actually did double major. I also majored in the music education. So I'm a music educator as well, and I found myself, I guess, you know, believing that music education is so important, and I did that as well.
And so fortunate that you did.
Yes, very happy.
That's the voice of Anna Pietraszko, and she's been the executive director of Miami Music Project since January 2010. She is an educator, arts executive, double bassist, and music activist. And also we're speaking with Maestro James Judd. He's a world-renowned conductor. He founded the Miami Music Project. And most recently, he became the music director of the Little Orchestra Society in New York, which we'll talk about. His previous directorships include principal guest conductor of the Orchestre National de Lille in France and a groundbreaking 14 years as music director of the Florida Philharmonic Orchestra. And all that to say we have to take a break, and we'll be right back. James, what are we listening to?
We're listening to Elasticity by Cindy Giebler, and that's performed by the Miami Music Project Quintet.
They're really incredible.
And they've just come back from France, where they were playing over the weekend in a festival.
And we're going to talk more about that too. So we are speaking with Maestro James Judd, and we are talking about the Miami Music Project, also with their executive director, Anna Pietraszko. And we're also very pleased to be joined in the studio today by two students from the Doral chapter of the Miami Music Project. Grace Bush is 16 years old. She's a recent graduate of FAU. She earned her degree with honors in criminal justice. And one of nine siblings, seven of whom are also in the Miami Music Project. And Grace is part of a large musical family. She plays the flute in the Advanced Level Orchestra of Miami Music Project's Doral chapter. And David Viejo is 11 years old. He's been part of Miami Music Project, the Doral chapter, for 3 years, where he learned to play the viola from scratch. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great to have you here. Let's start with you, David, if we might. I read that you're an excellent mathematician. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I'd like to know if you've discovered a connection between math and music.
I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
No?
I've never really thought about a connection between math and music.
Do you find that either the math, your math is enhanced by your understanding of musical form, or the other way around? Do they work together pretty well for you?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've never really thought about it, so this is kind of new. But I guess, yeah, math does help music a little bit.
Yeah?
In the way that, like, once you know something, it's easier to learn something else. Something
okay.
Like a subject. Music is also a subject in school, so, like, if you, and math is also, so learning one thing can help you learn another. Like language, learning one language can help you learn another, and then you can learn 10, 20.
Oh.
I'm exaggerating a little.
Just a little. Okay, Grace, let's turn to you. You just graduated from FAU with honors at the early age of 16. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's remarkable. Your degree in criminal justice, what do you hope to do with it?
I plan on going into law school as soon as possible, and then after that, I plan on becoming the Chief Supreme Court Justice of the United States.
All right. Okay. I love that. A degree in criminal justice, does that seem incongruous with music?
No. I started last year in a major in music education, and so that was my music in school, basically.
Okay. And how has music, if at all, helped with your studies in criminal justice?
Well, basically when I'm writing papers or I'm studying for my next test, I will put on my music and it will help me concentrate and de-stressify myself so that I could basically concentrate.
Did you say de-stressify?
Yes.
I like that. Okay. So you're an accomplished flutist. What led you to take up the flute?
Well, it was my mother. I started in 2006 in a program in Hollandale. And I started out on the recorder, and then I knew I was going to go to the flute. And so the first time I picked my flute, my two older sisters also started playing with me. And so we were all passing the flute around to see who could make the first sound on the flute. And I was eventually the one who made the first sound, so I guess it just stuck with me after that.
It's interesting. Let me ask you this, James. Why is it that it's mostly women or girls who are attracted to the flute? You don't see many men flutists, do you?
Well, I played the flute.
Oh, that's right. Well,
not particularly notwithstanding. Well. Oh, I think it's pretty equal, actually.
Is it?
And you see more and more. I mean, the wonderful thing about music, and we see it through the eyes of an orchestra, you see, you know, the bad old days, there were only men in orchestras in my lifetime. I mean, in London, the London Symphony Orchestra, when I was going to hear it as a child, were just men. It's unbelievable today. Now, when you go to guest conduct an orchestra, it's equal, you know. You see fantastic women tuba players, trombone players, percussion players. So, you know, and conductors. And really
and
great,
conductors.
Great women conductors now. So, although I think it's still difficult for some in the conducting field. You know, there are still prejudices, but it's changing rapidly due to the absolutely incredible skills of people like Marin Alsop and others.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And David, what led you, how long have you been with the Miami Music Project now?
This is my third year in it, and I just had an audition to enter into the next level.
Okay.
And I really hope I pass. so I can get there. And
how did you come to the Miami Music Project, or how did they come to you? How did you find them?
My mom. My mom, she found out about it, and she's like, hey, do you want to try this? And I'm like, okay. And then one thing led to another, and next thing you know, I'm playing the viola.
And now you used to play the guitar, is that right?
I still play it.
You still play it. And did playing the guitar, did knowing the guitar help you to learn the viola? Did it have any relation whatsoever?
It was kind of the other way around. I started the viola before I started the guitar.
Oh, so you learned both instruments just now then?
Yeah.
From scratch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't realize that. And Grace, how did you come to the Miami Music Project and seven of your siblings?
Well, my mom got an email. She thought it was spam, and so she just she just went to check it out, and so we found out it was a great opportunity, and so she just put us all in there.
So tell us about, you have a very musical family, but I asked your mom before we came on here, I said, Mom, what do you play? And she said, she doesn't. So how did this all happen where you were all, where did you think this came from, your love of music and your whole family?
Well, I'm not quite sure why we started. Our mom never really explained that. I guess she just wanted us to have some extracurricular activity because we were homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but my love of music really came from my music project. When I started this orchestra, I really realized how important music is in your life and how it's alive and always changing.
Yeah, you said that. You said your conductors helped you discover that music is alive and forever changing. So other than leading the orchestra as a whole, how would you describe the conductor's role in guiding you?
I believe the conductor's role is very important to the orchestra because they help the musical expression. They help guide the players and tell them how they're supposed to play, and they move the music and make it alive. Otherwise, it's just notes on a page.
Mm. James?
No, it's interesting what you say because we conductors don't really understand a lot about it, but I think it's, you know, honestly, a conductor is one musician amongst musicians, and I think when a conductor is doing good job, all the great conductors I see and hear orchestras speak of, the conductor enables a musician in the orchestra to be able to express their own feelings within the framework of something that's organized in the conductor's mind. So you have to feel free as a musician and free to give everything you have, you know, and to use your emotion and intellect.
Now, Grace, you said that you do not want to live without music. So what are your plans to continue with music if, you know, you become the chief Supreme Court Justice?
Well, I might finish my major in music education, and so that's a definite plan. And so if I do become the chief justice, I plan on doing music as something to keep me feeling alive.
And de-stressify.
Yes.
And okay, well, we are going to take a break. Paul, do we need to take a break? Yes, we do need to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this trip to France, the quintet from Miami Music Project, and a lot more on today's Topical Currents. So please stay with us. That's it. Anna Pietraszko and Maestro James Judd, and we have David Viejo, and we have Grace Bush. We're talking about the Miami Music Project, and Grace and David are in the Doral chapter of the Miami Music Project. And what were you just listening to, Anna?
We're just listening to an excerpt from Conga del Fuego Nuevo by Arturo Marquez, and that was actually performed by our youth orchestra, Miami Music Project Youth Orchestra, last November at the Arch Center during a Family Fest performance. And
that was right after you were on the program, wasn't it?
It was quite right after, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of these amazing achievements you've had, starting with, I don't know if you or James wants to talk about the string quintet and the Festival de Saint-Denis.
Well, it was a fantastic opportunity, and then I'll hand over to Anna, because we're representing Miami, if you like. It was a festival, and the theme was Miami is a melting pot. So Abiram took really trained the quintet and took them together with Enid. They went to Paris, they went to France, and they played this incredible music. And it was music very diverse to rather reflect all of the different cultural influences of Miami. And some of the pieces were specially commissioned. And the reports are that they just were an incredible success. They came back a couple of nights ago.
Right.
And they had standing ovations and were asked for more. And I think it really made a profound impact. So I think it was not only good for the Miami Music Project, it was a good message for Miami.
And they were the only ensemble from the United States that were invited, is that it?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And also the only youth ensemble. So that was interesting that they were the only ensemble from United States and also the only youth ensemble. All of the other ensembles and bands that were performing were professional groups. So that was quite stressful, I guess, for them. But I heard that when they landed in Paris, I don't think they realized the magnitude of what they were about to do until they landed and started walking through the streets and seeing the posters everywhere. And that's when they really, realized what they got themselves into. But apparently, as James said, it was an incredible experience. They did a great job, and we are very proud of them.
Oh, yeah. Do you have music from there? I mean, do you have their performance?
We will have them, yes. They were recorded, and we are going to get the recordings from the concerts. Yeah.
I think I'll open the phones. We are talking about the Miami Music Project with Maestro James Judd and Anna Priya Troshko, who's the executive director of Miami Music Project, and two of the students. Maybe you want to know more about it. Maybe you'd like to. We're going to find out more about it. I know the Liberty City chapter just opened, which is great, and has a concert coming up. Maybe you want to speak to David and Grace about music and about how to get involved and any way you want to join in the conversation. The number is 1-800-743-9576. Or parents, if you want to find out about it for your children, 1-800-743-9576. You can email radio@wlrn.org. So, Anna, tell us about the Miami, the Liberty City chapter. They just opened January this year.
Yes.
That must have been really...
Yes, it was very exciting. We just opened. The classes actually started only halfway through February. The opening was in January. It gave us a little bit of time to prepare everything. It was a very special event for the opening. We really were able to gather the community. We brought James's great friend, Daniel Bernard Romain, which is a violinist, a great role model for our students. We had Nicole Henry host the event. And we also, we teamed up in Liberty City with Miami Children's Initiative, which is another organization that works directly in Liberty City, changing that community, block after block. So we are very happy to be able to team up with them. And we started with 30 students in there, and we are adding 30 more after summer. So there will be 60 by the end of this year. And we are hoping to give them string instruments and brass instruments. That's what we're going to start with in Liberty City. And their first showcase, actually, a small showcase, is going to be just tomorrow.
I see, at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, at the school. So we'll see how they do. We keep fingers crossed for them. And we also have a big concert coming up on June 7, which is our fantastic season finale, where we'll be showcasing all of our students. And we actually had to divide the day into two different concerts for different levels because there are so many of them.
Now, let me just stop you for 1 second, because this says June 8th. Which is it?
It's June 7th, Saturday.
Okay,
yes.
Mine says June 8th. Okay, so it's June 7th.
It's a Saturday, yes.
Okay, so tell us about that and tell us more.
Yeah, so we now have in our chapters, the three chapters we have in Doral, in Little Haiti, and Liberty City, we have 330 students across those three chapters on four different levels of advancement. So at 1 o'clock on June 7, you will be able to hear the first two levels, so the beginners and the intermediate levels. And then at 7 o'clock, you will hear the two upper levels. We had to divide the day into two because last year we didn't divide and our concert lasted 3.5 hours, which was quite interesting. It is a good news overall because that means we're growing and growing and always have to just figure out how to, deal with logistics.
And this, they are both at the Wertheim Performing Arts Center? Concert
yes,
Hall?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's 10910 Southwest?
Yeah. That's at FIU.
FIU. Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what else is going on? Mm-hmm. Because it looks like you say you've had 14 concerts
yes.
in, you know, New World Center, the Arts Center.
Yeah. So just this past year, we had 14 different concerts in different ensembles, configurations. At the Arts Center, we had a rehearsal at the New World Center of our youth orchestra to give them a little feeling of what it means to be on that stage as well. We performed really all around the city and the county, wherever we find a good space and a good, good reason to play. There's always a good reason to play music, I guess. We also went out of Miami this year twice. In February, we went to Los Angeles to take part in a symposium called Take a Stand, which is a symposium organized by the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and it gathers all of the El Sistema programs from around the world, not just United States. So it's quite incredible how many people are actually there. This past year, there were 28 different states represented and 13 different countries. And altogether, there were 400 people at that symposium. So it was quite incredible. We also took three of our students there. They were able to meet other students from programs that were chosen. They got a scholarship to be there. So that was great. And in addition to that, we also just came back a couple of weeks ago from Durham, North Carolina.
Oh, David was there, right?
And David was there with us.
Okay.
Where we attended the East Coast Seminario, which is a seminario which means we get all the programs from the East Coast of United States, and they get together, and a 90-piece orchestra performs together with all the kids from different cities, different programs. So it's a great opportunity for the students to meet other students, other, you know, buddies who do the same thing as they do, and they all play instruments, and I'm sure David can speak more on that.
Yeah, tell us about it, David. What was it like for you?
It was an amazing experience. There was, like, maybe 120-something kids. It was a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
The stage was not big enough. So you kind of just see a lot of people trying to fit in a bunch of people, just, and it's overcrowded. You couldn't see some. From the audience, you couldn't see some people. Like, I think the bass players weren't seen. I think some violin players weren't seen.
So you were all squeezed in together.
But the viola players were visible, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unusual. I don't think I was seen because I think the conductor blocked me, so I wasn't. I saw you. Oh, you did?
Of course.
Yes.
Oh. I didn't think I would be seen.
And Grace, I wanted to ask you, and we'll keep talking about more of the events, but how has music changed you? And how has it changed your life?
Well, I believe being in my music project, I was able to change socially. Before then, I was kind of like an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And so being in my music project really helped me open up and make more friends and be able to communicate properly.
Okay. So to be more social.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. We have lots of calls, actually. Jenny in Miami has a question. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to Topical Currents.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My name is Jenny, and I'm driving and listening to the program. I have to say NPR is the best program ever. The question I have is simple. Originally, I'm from Haiti, and I was raised in Haiti before coming here to go to medical school. And I think that this would be a great opportunity for children in my country. And I was just wondering if the Miami Project has ever thought about helping disadvantaged children in places like Haiti.
Okay, Anna.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that question. Well, first of all, we have a chapter in Little Haiti in Miami where we have 140 kids at the Toussaint Louverture Elementary School in our program. So first of all, if you know any students, any kids that are age of first or second grade, they're more than welcome to join in our Little Haiti program in Miami. And as far as the Haiti, you know, we do actually talk about it quite a lot. We were actually recently contacted by the previous president of Haiti, who is, I think, going to join us for the June 7 performance. And that is actually the beginning of us talking to him to see if we can come up with any type of partnership and help kids in Haiti itself.
All right. I would like to say that I am a professional in Miami. I belong to the Haitian American Leadership Organization, and for the past 10 years, we foster education in our children here in Miami and in Haiti. And this is a project that we are putting together. I hope that I can reach out to the Miami project at some point. I don't know if there is a contact person to see if this is something that we could work with you along with the Haitian government, if we could serve as the vehicle to making this possible.
Anna?
I would love to, and if you would like to write me an email, the email is very simple. It's just info@miamimusicproject.org. info@miamimusicproject.org. Please write me, and I will definitely be in touch with you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Jenny, bye-bye. For calling.
Thanks.
Okay, it's Topical Currents. We have Evie and Angel, and we'll get to you. But we need to take another break. We're speaking about the Miami Music Project with Maestro James Judd. Anna Pietroszko is the executive director, and two members of the Doral chapter of the Miami Music Project, Grace Bush and David Viejo. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. Thanks. Topical Currents. We're speaking about Miami Music Project with Maestro James Judd, who founded it in 2008. Anna Pietroszko is the executive director. And Grace Bush and David Viejo are two members of the Doral chapter of the Miami Music Project. We were talking during the break about short-term plans and long-term plans. Anna, let's talk about the summer camp.
Yes, so in addition to our ongoing year-round programming, we also this year have one more time a summer camp. And this year it is actually a much broader camp. It's going to be 4 weeks, and it is supported by the Miami-Dade County Cultural Affairs, which, you know, that's without that support, we would not be able to have the summer camp. It is for students who are beginners or intermediate levels in string instruments. We also are going to have choir and rhythm ensemble, but to join in the camp, you should have some or a little bit of experience in playing string instruments. If you would like to get more information, please do not hesitate to call us at 786-422-5221. That's 786-422-5221. Or you can just simply go to our website, miamimusicproject.org, to find out more information. The registration form is available through the website. You can just fill it up and send it back to us.
And James, we were talking also during the break about how you'd like more students to have access that all children should be able to have access.
Yes,
to this
I mean, our goal is to grow in the right way, you know, to deliver really first-rate education. But we see, as we progress the organization, the need out there is just so great. And I feel so sorry for the kids that we're just not able yet. We don't have the resources to feed with this music. So, you know, it's our goal to really expand the program. Just quietly work away, because we really believe that it's necessary and it's a kind of right for everyone to have music in their lives. And, you know, it really will help the community when everybody, you've so beautifully described, Grace has so mm-hmm. beautifully described the effect of music on us all. And so, you know, that's something that's the next stage. And we have this wonderful board that I emphasize again, led by Stanley Cohen, who are so devoted and powerful people, giving so much of their time. So again, if you know anyone out there who would like to get involved and help us and build this organization, please do get in touch as well.
And again, the website is miamimusicproject.org. How is funding going? I see you were named among the 75 Knight Art Challenge finalists, so congratulations for that. Does that ensure you'll receive funding?
Not yet, no.
Okay. It means we're just in the final sort of cut, I suppose, and so we're keeping our fingers crossed, because that will go towards our teaching artist program. Because, you know, one of the important things that I hinted to just now was it's not just a question of having good musicians turn up to face the young people. You know, you have to be able to really play. You have to be a real teacher. You have to be a real communicator. Very special talent. So more and more we're realizing the necessity to train those musicians that have it in their heart. train them really expertly. So first of all, we don't waste a dollar. It all goes towards this goal. But secondly, we also pride ourselves in giving a really first-rate education, both as, you know, individual instrumentalists, but also in ensembles, the big orchestra, and play together. You know, music is for us all. And yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
And what about instruments? Are you still looking for instruments?
All
You're
the
always
time.
Looking for
always
instruments.
Always looking for instruments. So, you know, people, do please think, folks out there, if you have an old instrument lying around that you're not using anymore, you know. Unfortunately, there are a lot of instruments still locked in cupboards in schools. You know, we're trying to sort of get that
You
moving.
Mean where they no longer have music programs?
Yeah, which is a tragedy. And, you know, we just need to, musical instruments have their own lives. They have to be able to breathe with music. So if you know that in your school there are instruments locked up, if you have one in the attic or sitting on the dining
room
table,
you'll gladly take it.
Yeah, because it will always be put to good use and it'll create magic in someone's lives.
So James, talk about this little orchestra society in New York City. You've just been made music director. This is your first year.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about
that. Well,
that's
an interesting organization that's existed since 1947, but it's relevant. It does a lot of different work for a series of concerts at Lincoln Center for Families, at Hunter College in New York. But we have also a wonderful program in the schools, which is a little bit parallel with what we're doing here, but we're teaching young kids to compose, to come to music through composition and then through. So we really want in the future to make a connection so we can have some of Grace and David's fellow musicians and them as well playing some of the music, and then we want to start you guys composing down here as well, you know, because that's creative and it's so thrilling to see. So that's a wonderful organization. As I say, it's been going for all of those years. And it's a professional orchestra, mm-hmm. is what it is. It sounds like Little Orchestra Society. In fact, we're in a renaming mode at the moment.
Oh, really?
Well, little in the society these days are
means
tricky.
Means little, yeah. And what else have you been doing, and where are you going to be conducting the rest of the year?
Oh, well, in the next couple of months, I'll be in Japan twice, and in China, in Taiwan, in South Korea, in Lisbon. This week I'll be in Houston. That's to judge a competition, and then New York, and then that's what I do. I'm very, very lucky, you know, and everywhere I go, I see wonderful music programs, and I talk about the Miami Music Project, and, you know, music is music, whether you're conducting a great professional orchestra or an orchestra of beginners. Music is music, you know, the communication with one another, the whole warm glow of making music from silence back to silence, and it's such a beautiful thing.
And Anna, what else is, we'll go over, I know we have the Liberty City chapter showcases tomorrow at 5 at Charles R. Drew Elementary?
K-8 Center.
K-8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, K-8. Right, K-8. Yeah. Okay. And is all this on the website, MiamiMusicProject.org? Can we find
it? Yes, most of it is actually, the best place is our Facebook page.
Okay.
Because that's where we post the most recent news, and you can really get our news very fast that way. We also have a mailing list for which you can sign up for the website. And I always say that, you know, we promise we don't send too much stuff, but we send all the stuff you need to know. So if you sign up for our mailing list, we will keep you posted on all of the concerts, initiatives, everything that is happening with us, and, you know, through our monthly newsletter. That's all you're going to get from us. And we also have this concert coming up. You know, the school year is ending, so we are also in our planning stages for next year, making sure we improve the challenges that we've had this year. There's always a lot going on the back end, of course, of our operations, but we have an incredible team of people, and we are growing the team, and I'm so proud of all of us. You know, we have an office that can speak to you in English, Spanish, Haitian Creole, so whoever calls us, even in Polish, we are able to speak to them, which is very helpful in Miami, of course.
Right. What is this project, Treble? And I see you've partnered with so many organizations now, many more than the last time even. What is Project Treble?
So Project Treble is a project that we have put together with the FIU's Community-Based Intervention Research Group. And that group is committed to collaborating with local community organizations that foster healthy youth development. And Project Treble basically is a research and assessment project for our programming. So we are trying to show through this project that our programming, our model works, and that our program really improves the children's lives and improves their executive functioning skills and really translates into life, even through, you know, grades going up in school, improved behavior, and a lot of wonderful benefits that music gives you. So this wonderful group of researchers, which is led by Dr. Michelle Hospital from FIU, they came up with measures for us, and they are testing our students, our parents, and our teachers 3 times a year, and putting together all this data, analyzing the data, whichever way they do it, I have no idea. It sounds so complex to me.
It sounds pretty complicated.
But it's quite incredible, you know, because through that, they were going to actually help us. They're going to help us show that what we do really, really works, and it is not just about music, but really about, you know, the social change through music.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask Grace one more question, and I forgot what it was, but I'm sorry. But I want to congratulate you on all your accomplishments and wish you so well in your future. And I'll look for you on that Supreme Court. And David, I want to go from music to animals here. I hear that you love them and you want a pet. So what animal do you love the most? Do you have a favorite?
A dog, yeah.
A dog?
My cousins have a dog and I adore her. She's amazing. She always just like, I'm just laying on the bed and she loves me also. So she just jumps on the bed and she just curls up next to me. And
so is your mom going to get you one?
I hope so, but right now she's just shaking her head, saying, no, I'm not getting
you. Oh, no, all right.
I'm trying to do something, but no.
Do you plan on pursuing a career in music or math or both?
I don't know.
A little too early, huh?
Yeah, it's a little early. I'm only 11. I really don't know.
Okay.
So I think maybe music, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really love music, and music is a part of my life. I can't abandon it.
And until 3 years ago, you weren't involved at all with music?
There were the music classes in school, but it really wasn't much. Just like playing something on the recorder. Really basic. It's really not much.
I know what I want to ask you, Grace. How does Miami Music Project differ from other music classes or music groups you've been in before?
Well, I've been in one program I was in before my music project. I was in for 3 years. And when I was there, I was kind of like in this dry zone in my music. I felt that the environment wasn't exactly suited for me. It was kind of distant and cold. But then I came to my music project and everybody was warm and friendly, and I was able to communicate more easily with my conductors and also with my peers. So in that way, I would say that my music project is a stark contrast to the other music programs that I've been in.
Wow. Well, Grace Bush, all the best to you. Thank you so much. David Viejo, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Ana Pia Troshko, it's a pleasure to see you,
always
Executive Director
here
of the Miami Music Project. And Maestro James Judd, the founder of the Miami Music Project, and many other things. James, thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Bonnie.
And best of luck with the project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is our program for today. We thank you for spending your time with us. Oh, there's the music. Our producers, Richard Ives, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary, and more information at the Topical Currents Facebook page and on our website, WLRN.org. On tomorrow's Topical Currents, we'll explore the reasons why we laugh. So, Bonnie Berman wishing you a great day. James, what are we listening to? We're listening to La Lesienne.
We are, because I put my headphones down. That was a cheat. La Lesienne by Bizet.
Okay. And this is the Farandole?
Yes, it is. Okay. That's right.
All right.
Exactly right.
Okay. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News. Thanks so much for joining us.